Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
To the sweet sounds of Kevin Bloody Wilson, it's Hump Day with Swanee and Friends. Guest friend with Samantha Richards and Dane Swan is... Can you introduce him, please, Dane?
It's my manager, Liam Pickering. Thanks for coming. It's nice to see you. I haven't seen you since I retired. So.
I was actually around at your place last week, Davey, so don't start that stuff.
You don't call him your manager on this podcast. No. Don't talk behind his back, please.
I've heard some of the snippets of what he said about me over the years. Don't worry.
Yeah. It's nice to see you, mate. Yeah.
Well, it's good to be here, Swanee. I got a little bit lost. Yeah, but I saw your Ford around the corner, so I thought I mustn't be far away.
Yeah, yeah. Here we are.
So a couple of weeks ago, I text Pickers and said, can you join the show? Yep, no worries. We'll work out a date. Dane, how would you go with this one? Can you send me a calendar invite?
A calendar invite?
Do you have a calendar, Dane?
I had to Google it.
Yeah. You know how to do them, surely.
What do you mean? Nope.
I don't know how to do it myself. That's why I always ask people to do it. I'm going to get Picture Works and me to send the calendar invites because I don't know how to do it on my phone, but if someone, I know how to accept it.
Yes.
That's half a chance.
Yeah, I wouldn't know how to send a calendar invite. No. What do you mean?
I said, no worries, mate. Then straight to Google, how do you
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. My missus had to set up my calendar, so she puts all the dates in.
Right.
So we can it works on this. On different phones.
Yeah, it does.
So her phone's got all the same dates as my one.
Yep.
How's your hand?
This isn't new, Dane.
Looks good.
Look at his hand. How'd you do your hand?
Well, everyone here's in his guess is as good as mine.
I don't quite remember.
You were going to Sydney the day after I caught up with
you. It wasn't. It was in Sydney between the hours of like 1 a.m. and 3 a.m.
Enough said.
Exactly. I got bit by a shark is the other story I'm running with now.
You do that with the kids.
Yeah, did the old Mick Fanning and punched it back. But yeah, it looks all right now, actually.
It'll be good for gripping
a
footy.
Got stitches out, four stitches out yesterday and half stitches, rest of them come out tomorrow.
So it's draft time. Just talk us through your first connection with himself here.
Well, it was my first year doing management. I'd coached.
What a nice guy I am, giving someone a chance.
I've got a feeling it was the other way around, to be honest.
Thought I'd give this young whippersnapper a chance.
I'd been coaching at the Western Jets. It was a super draft he was in, so 2001. Yeah. So you're talking Judd, Hodge, Ablett. At the back end, Swan, 58. Yeah. So I'd coached all year at the Jets. We didn't have one player drafted. We played the Cannons a couple of times during the year, and the Cannons had, I reckon, six or eight drafted that year. They had a lot drafted.
Yeah.
No one out the Jets. We had a pretty ordinary group that year. I think we won one game. We might have beaten them when they were all on state duty. But so I got into the management when Horse Longmire, who was doing it before me, he got the coaching offer to go to Sydney. So... And then they approached me. I didn't want to do it. I said no a couple of times. And then in the end, they talked me into it. So Horse had already had a few players signed up from the year before. So you had guys like Darren Glass and Justin Kaczynski and Daniel Cross and these guys. But my first ever client I signed was James Kelly, who was a teammate of Swanee's at Calder. And I had a couple others that I was sort of working on that Horse would give me the lead in. But I had to try and sign him, like Adam Snyder, who was in that draft as well. But yeah, and Lee Tudor rang me up. He was at the Jets. At the Cannons. And he said, I reckon Swanee's young bloke goes pretty good here. And I'd watched him play during the year, but I hadn't taken a lot of notice. So
was it at an MCG?
I'd seen him throughout the course of the year because I'd coached against him.
He said when he got to the MCG, he couldn't stop getting it.
Oh, well, that's his grand final. He had a ripping grand final.
Exactly, that's right.
But I called him up. on the back of, he said, Lee Tudor had said to me that that both Essendon and Collingwood showed some interest. So I spoke to both of them and they said, yeah, yeah, we like him. I actually thought the Bombers were going to take him. But in the end, as it turned out, I rang up and set up a meeting with his old man and him. He didn't really offer a lot, to be honest. He's 17 year old. He was hardly tuned in. So his name gets... in the lead up to the draft, I said, yeah, what's the plan? And Billy's old man is a legend. Billy's going, oh, he wants to go to the schoolies. I said, don't go to the schoolies, mate. Just wait. The draft's on a Saturday. Just wait. If you don't get picked up, by all means, go after that. Anyway, so his name gets called out. It's a Saturday afternoon draft, seriously. And I ring his phone. He doesn't answer, of course. And then I get onto his old man. I said, oh, mate, fantastic. That's a great pick. Well done to the Pies. Fantastic for Dane. I can't get onto him. You're able to put him on. He goes, mate, he's in Queensland. He's at schoolies.
That set a precedence for you. You said, don't go, and he went.
Yep.
Tried calling him and his phone and he didn't answer. Did you see that progress through his
career? Yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm. But that was sort of the start of knowing that Swanee was going to beat to his own drum. You know, I sort of knew it then because you didn't even come straight back, did you?
No. Schoolies is a very good time. And I was only going once.
Started on the eight ball, fair to say.
It was that good. I go every year.
You still go?
Yeah, I still go.
He's a toolie.
Yeah, exactly. It's fantastic. A lot better now than what it was back then.
Did you sit there and go, what have I done?
Oh, I thought, oh, no, I'm going to go and speak to the club. And they said, oh, yeah, we'll try and get Dane in on Monday. At the club, I said, it's going to be difficult. He didn't endear himself to his teammates.
How do you reckon that would go now? Like, back then it was a bit different. You know what I mean? How do you reckon it would go now if Nick Dacos or whatever, one of your kids was like, listen, they want him in on Monday. He goes, no, I'm with schoolies. I'll be back Friday.
I reckon over the last 2 years with the COVID stuff, they'll probably give him a bit more leeway.
Yeah.
Just because everyone's been disjointed. And the kids have had a horrible time with their schooling and their footy. So they might do that. I know, for example, the West Australian kids who were drafted into the other states, all the clubs I've spoken to said, well, just join us in January.
Did
they? Yeah, well, they can't come over. Well, if they can come over, but they have to quarantine. They can't go back for Christmas. Yeah. So I think that's a really, really good way to do it.
Yeah.
But back then, yeah, that was frowned upon, fair to say. Didn't start that well.
And did you have, in the same draft, Gary Abler Jr.?
Yeah.
Similar characters?
Completely different.
Oh, really?
I mean, it's surprising to say that because, you know, Gary's a clean living, lovely young bloke. Dane's a bit of a scallywag, let's be honest. I say this to everyone. Swanee, of all my clients, is probably the easiest client I've ever managed. I understand there's been some issues.
Yeah.
But Swanee, you ask Swanee to do something and he says he'll do it, he's there.
Very punctual guy, isn't he?
He never lets you down. Like, you don't have to follow him up. And everyone, of course, when they book Swanee, they panic. They ring you 20 times. Yeah, you I'm just checking he's going to be. Listen, I've said he's going to be there. He'll be there. He's not once ever let me down, which is surprising. But
some of the words that come out of my mouth might surprise them. Well, like, if you book me, you get me.
Yeah.
In the true sense.
I've done a few with him. They're quite the experience. The sport is
big. Yeah. But yeah, no, I was just. I say yes to whatever. I'll do whatever anyone wants. Just people just have to ask me.
Well, it's actually a surprise. I know people were surprised that he doesn't let you down. Like, he just won't let you down. If he says he's going to do it, he'll do it. And there'd have to be a genuine reason.
Yeah.
Like, one or two times. But he did turn up, and I'm thinking, I wish he hadn't turned up. He's not in the best frame of mind. He's not the top of his game today.
Actually, our departed mate Camo said once that he somehow got you out of lunch to go to a gig.
Yeah.
They weren't quite sure what he was saying the whole night. And then he's got, oh no, there's been a disaster. The next day, the club rings. He was fantastic. That's the best we've ever had.
Yeah.
You just said, well, if you book Dane Swan, you get Dane Swan.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you get. You know what you got getting yourself into. That's the thing.
The club didn't know what they got themselves into when I first got drafted, but we figured that out.
Well, it took him a little while because we had a couple of little slip ups at the start before he actually laced a boot up for an AFL game.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
It was nearly the end before it started.
That's our theme, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I've written down from afar that was this your career arc with Swanee? This is what you should do. This is what you shouldn't do. Please, mate, don't do it again. Is that
pretty much? Now, he's always been up front. Yeah. Although he did tell me one little lie one night, one day where he said he'd been out. It was a Sunday, and he turned up the training unfit for training, according to the club. And he said to me, I wasn't even drinking like last night. I wasn't even having a drink. I was drinking water all night. Yeah, vodka. Vodka and soda water.
Yeah.
I got that out of him about 2 days later. He turned up. Well, not in a good state.
I think I've said it here. It's why I think it's a good idea, Tom, because I knew the people who were in the bar. And I was like, just me and Jono, we just had water bottles and those were filling up with vodka water. But obviously, the more pissed you get, you forget to realise that it's 3:30 a.m. You're cutting around a desk with a bottle of water just sitting there. You're like, he's not talking like someone who's been drinking fucking water all night. So
that cost you a Brownlow, didn't it?
Yeah.
So that suspension that he got cost him a Brownlow medal.
So that would have cost you then?
Nah, there's nothing that's good for me. That's never been an issue.
So why'd you get it? You said you were asked about it and you had to be arm wrestled into it a bit. So why'd you get into player managing?
Actually, to this day, I don't know why. I wanted to coach. Nah, I've been doing it 20 years now. It's coming up 20 years. It was about this time of the year in 2001. But no, I don't know. I initially said no. IMG was a big company. He's a big company. So, and Chrissy Giannopoulos, who's a good, great man, he just twisted my arm.
Yep.
Because I told Horse, he said, I think they want to offer you my job. I said, I don't want to be a player manager.
And you were a filler, yeah?
I was a filler. Yeah. I was looking after, like, Geelong Footy Club with all their product, Bulldogs, Melbourne, and the Australian cricket team, which was an experience in itself, the Australian cricket team. But so that was – I enjoyed the job. And then I was coaching on the weekends, and that was something I really wanted to do. But in the end, I thought, well, of course, they said, oh, you can still coach. You know, worked that out pretty quick. You can't coach. You've got to go and watch kids play. So anyway, and that's where it sort of – I ended up going that way and into commentary and all that sort of stuff. So.
And how much did it help you that you had been a player – To talk to kids.
Huge difference. I think it's a huge advantage. I mean, there are a few current former players now that are in management.
Yep.
But I think unless you've lived it, I mean, you got guys giving advice to players about what it takes to be a professional. I mean, you've never been a professional.
Yep.
I don't say you have to be, but I think it does help because there's not one thing that these kids go through that will go through that I didn't go through.
Yep.
Like moving away from home, country Victoria, being drafted. Getting dropped, being traded, having some success, but also dealing with bad injuries and whatever. They're all the things that the kids will potentially go through. So to me, having been through it, that sort of helped.
And what about the parent side of things when you said about Billy's a legend and so forth, but you would meet all types. How do you sort of get your own filtering process saying, well, hang on, no, this kid's got a bit of something or this kid I'm probably better off staying away from?
Well, you usually get warned, to be honest, you get warned off a few of them. It's early days in particular. There wasn't so many managers then. It was like, this kid's got some talent. He's a hard work. He's going to be hard work for you, mate. So when you could pick and choose a little bit more, which you could back in those days because there's probably only about four management groups that had any players and now there's 100 odd agents. So.
Is there?
Yeah, 100 agents now running around trying to be managers. It's unbelievable. A lot of them don't have any players or they have one player or whatever, but the big groups have got chunks of players now. Like, I mean, one of them's got 300 players, I think. So there's another one with about 150. So we're at the smaller end, but we've never really been super big, but we've always had good quality clients. But the parents, look, you become really friendly. I'm really good mates with Billy's old man, Swanee's old man. We just have a lot in common. I can get on really well. And then there are some that are our players that I play with their dads. I played against their parents, and they're always easy to deal with because they've sort of been through it as well. And most of them say the same thing is, can you look after the young bloke because he doesn't listen to me. His kids don't listen to their old man.
That's it.
So they get their message through me to get to the player. So, but there's been hard work parents. Don't worry about that, but it's part of the job.
Did you have Jordan Lewis?
Yeah, Louis.
Yeah, so I remember this one that he got into a bit of strife as a
before he was drafted.
Yeah, but and this is just in a broad sense, or be specific however you want to go about it. But Alistair Clarkson, your man as well, but he saw that as a positive because when he dug deep, he got into trouble sticking out for a mate.
Yeah,
and he liked that trait in him.
He told, it was funny. It was the day before the draft, Port Adelaide. So we had Louis, and we're in the office at IMG, and Port Adelaide came in. Choco Williams and I think it was Chris Pelkin or whatever. They had a meeting with Louis in our office. And I've got no idea Hawthorn are going to take him. Like Clarko, they kept a real – it was his first draft. They kept a real tight lid on who they were going to pick.
What number did you go?
Louis went 7, pick 7. Yeah. But Port Adelaide were going to take him with about pick 8 or 10 or something like that. Anyway, Mark Williams still, Choco still to this day blames me because I told Clarko that a Port were going to pick him, which I didn't. But yeah, Louis gets drafted and then he says to me, sorry, before he gets drafted, he says to me, look, got something I've got to tell you. I said, what's that? He goes, I'm on a few assault charges. He goes, what do I tell the clubs? I said, don't tell them a damn thing. We'll deal with it afterwards. get yourself drafted first. Anyway, so he gets drafted and then it's like, to Dougie, Mark Evans and Clark, and yeah. Just a little heads up. This is what happened.
Yeah.
Anyway, so my first, I reckon his first, or was he, within his first month, we spent four days in a court in Warrnambool.
That was a good start.
Yeah, it was something that happened at a party. I mean, I thought it was a bit pathetic, but anyway, but it wasn't a great introduction. And then, of course, we went through the same with Swanee when he got in a little bit of a scuffle. This was your second year, I think.
Second year.
Something happened on a Sunday night, and I got the call, and I thought, "Oh, this is not going to be good." And again, jumping at Shadows before the club jumped at Shadows, like they fed him out of the joint.
Yeah.
Before they'd even seen the vision, I said, "I've got to get the vision," and the vision showed him doing three parts of stuff all really.
Yep.
But it was costly experience. So.
Very costly.
It was. Jeez, I kept saying, not again. We stopped more to go.
On there.
How have clubs, because actually we did a pod with Ed a couple of weeks ago and he was first 25 minutes talking about sticking up for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, but how have clubs learnt to deal with controversies a bit better, like as Swanee tweeted this year, the way Richmond looked after their own when Daniel Rioli and
But
it was fantastic. They just said, no, our starting point is we look after our own, then we'll worry about controversy. Do you think clubs are getting smarter than that?
I think they are. Well, they're getting more. There's a lot more people around the footy departments, although it has probably come back a little bit since COVID. But, yeah, I would think that they're a lot more mature with it. But we also are jumping at shadows with social media and, stories going up and everyone the first to break things and all that shit. It really annoys me. But, getting in first and then you hang on, oh no, it's not that bad.
No one wants to be right, everyone just wants to be first.
It's all about being first and it drives me mad, to be honest, but I'd rather them get it right.
Because once something's out there, whether it's completely wrong or not, it sticks.
Well, I'll tell you what, the apologies are always a lot smaller than the actual articles. when you've been able to get an apology out of a paper, which I was able to through one thing in my management career, it was written, it was a whole lot of sorries for all these clauses that were broken. Not saying that they were making up stuff that wasn't put in. But anyway, that's how it goes.
I won't say who, but it wasn't himself here. But I had to ring you about a client that got into a bit of strife back in my media days.
I'm trying to think who you're talking about. Give me a clue.
Richmond and later Port
Adelaide. Chelsea.
But I broke it. you didn't know.
No, I didn't know. I didn't have a clue. He hadn't told me.
Yeah, it was all public records. It was Jay Schultz, and he got done for drink driving. And the significance wasn't that. It was that Richmond's whole sponsorship was with the TAC.
Yeah, it was. Well, and they'd already one other club had already been given the flick, I think, from...
Yeah.
What was it?
It was Collingwood.
Yeah, Sharon Wellingham. Yeah,
Sharon. Get on your side. But old Schultz, I went in there that day. Look, you wouldn't read about it. So... I've got the information, obviously. I've chased it up from...
There's this pause, sorry, Chase, but really? And I was just checking.
It was a Monday morning,
facts.
First thing Monday morning. I'm like, really? So the week's going to start? And I'm thinking, all right. I said, so I ring Greg Miller. I said, where is he? He said, he's at the club. So no worries. So I go into the club. I pull in. I'm thinking, hopefully there's no media there. There are two media there with cameras ready to roll. One is Hutchie, one of my mates, and one is my brother-in-law, Rob Waters. And I see Hutchie go, roll cameras. And I'm like, oh, you bastard. And they know me as I was going into Richmond. They sort of caught me. I just walked out. I said, oh, I haven't even seen him yet. I got into the club and poor old Chiltsy, he was sitting in a room, dark room, no light on. I just said, oh, come on. Just work through this. Anyway, I thought it was quite ordinary the way they handled it at the time. And he got blamed for a few things, but I mean, that was not the reason they lost the sponsorship. They'd had a blue the year before, and someone else had stuffed up, I think.
And sometimes the sponsors are keen to get out the joint.
Well, that's right. And back then, I guess Richmond weren't going so flash. So they'd handle it a lot different now, Richmond. I know that.
All right. Well, you've opened the door. Talk us through your relationship with Craig.
With Hutch? Oh, jeez. He bailed me up. He did an article on me in 1995.
Yep.
And that's how it started. And
a good one or a bad one?
A good one.
Herald Sun journal at the time?
It was Herald Sun journalist. He rang me
skinnier?
Up. Skinnier? Or a lot skinnier. Yeah, you drop a jockey off him, probably already is now. No problems whatsoever. But the big guy, he was a guy that I'd seen a lot. Because he's a Cats fan, you know. So, and we were a pretty good team back then. And he wrote an article on me leading into the Brownlow. He embellishes the story like there's no like.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like he tells the story now, like, and puts that much mayonnaise, it's ridiculous. But yeah, so he writes an article, and then we become sort of friendly through friends as well. And I thought he was Mick Mansfield's mate, and Mick Mansfield thought he was my mate. So, and next thing he's mates with Johnny Longmire, and he's mates with Charlie and Lee Chew. He's staying on their couch in Geelong after games, and he's going out with us all the time.
It's be a big couch.
No, well, he wasn't actually that big back then. I found some photos the other day that my daughter sent through that was me, Hutchie, Horse, and another mate of ours. And I sent it to Horse, and he's gone, "Who's that?" I said, "That's Archie." He goes, "Really?"
I've got a photo from my 30th along similar lines. Oh, my God, that's great.
Yeah, the big man. But so we go back a long time, and we started our radio show together. I was doing a show with Marco on SEN on a Saturday morning. And I get a, "Hutchie, do you want to have a beer?" We got meet at the pub for a beer. And he says, "You guys have just been given the flick from AW."
Yep.
I think you
required producer. Yeah. Scotty Cummings.
wasn't it you Doc and or was it Triple M? You Doc and Hutchie all got the flick for
And Trev Marmalade, I think that was just
anyway, it was
carnage.
I read his last one he goes, "That's it, I'm never working for another person again in my life. That's it." I said, "So what are you gonna do?" He goes, I'm gonna buy some media time off SEN.
Yeah,
and I want to do a show with you on a Saturday morning. I said, "Mate, I'm already doing a show on a Saturday morning with Mark Allen." He goes, "No, that won't be happening anymore. It'll be me and you." And I said, "All right, what do you want the show to be about?" He goes, "I want it to sound like we're sitting at a bar having a beer." I said, "Yeah, it sort of works. Works for me." And so that was, we don't know the exact origin. It was 15, 16 years ago.
Yeah.
So we've been doing it 52 weeks of the year for that long.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it hasn't always been for the full 3 hours like it is now. It was an hour spot here and an hour spot there. Weren't you there one day when you might be dreaming, Hutchie, when we had the Twop Studios in a news break.
Yes.
And Hutchie was completely out of breath. It was if I can get that audio, I think he's burned it. It was the funniest audio I have ever heard in my life. I thought he was going to have a heart attack on air. He only had to run from 150 metres. Yeah.
So there's a wrestler, I can't remember the wrestler's name, but he was talking about his time with Vince McMahon, and part of the storyline was he was going to have to be brutal to Vince McMahon on stage.
Yeah.
And he said, "Now, I just need to speak to your boss. And what about, I've got this idea. Don't tell me. It's really horrible. Don't tell me. Just to look." Is that how you guys have had that approach? Because, fuck, you've had a fair crack at each other over the journey for mates.
Well, that's it, though. I mean, I think people understand we are taking the mickey a bit, but yep. There's also a fair bit of truth in it. Like, I mean, he's not a small man. I haven't got a button nose. I know that. Like, I get that. But our view is if we take the piss out of each other.
Yeah.
So if everyone else takes the fun that we take it in, like last week we had a bit of a joke about Tommy Morris.
Yeah.
Who's, you know, who I questioned on having some plugs because that's my go. I pick up blokes with wigs. I can spot those raccoons a mile away. Anyway, and Tommy owned it. He said, "Yeah, absolutely." Sent me the photos and everything. So I went with it Saturday morning. But I wouldn't have gone with it if he hadn't told me he was sweet with it.
Yep.
But I would insinuate it for others that I call deceptive about it, are deceiving themselves.
But you would have no problem saying that about Craig. And he would have no problems, any human frailty about you.
Well, that's exactly how we operate. You should know that, Ralph. You've known him as longer than me.
It's kind of like therapy for your friendship.
Well, it pretty much is, yeah. There are things that I can get away with saying to Hutch that no one else in our business would.
That's what I meant,
But I don't do it in a disrespectful way. On air we probably do it, but not in a general sense.
Yeah.
Like he'll wind up meetings and he'll start the meeting off by taking the piss out of me.
Yes.
Doesn't matter who it's with. I think as he had a pretty mediocre footy career and he averaged bugger all with the cricket bat and all this sort of stuff. So he'll start the meeting. It's like, oh, well, I'll deal with it.
Can't laugh at yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
100%.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
So once Doc was part of that.
The Doc. Love the Doc.
99, hard to forget this one, Swanee. I didn't quite listen to the quaddy suggestion of Doc. Mm. I just left out the 100-to-1 shot, of which the boys didn't. And then we met you at the college lawn afterwards after they got a rather large quaddy. The reason I remember this is you were talking about your friend Alistair Clarkson.
Yeah.
He's definitely going to coach. And at the time, that would have been 100-to-1, him coaching at the league level.
Yep.
He's gone on all right.
He has. He's
Talk us through that journey.
Oh, well, he's just a super smart guy. Like, I mean, I knew he's so driven. Like, Clarkie used to be, he's got his MBA, but he's also, he was a school teacher at Wesley College, and he lived in Greville Street, just opposite at the college lawn. And the Wesley kids, he used to drive a Mighty Boy. You know, those little cars. Anyway, the kids would leave school, and he said he'd come out, get out the next morning to go to his car, and it'd be up, like, leaning against the fence. It'd be up on the gutter. The kids would come around at night time, pick it up, and just move it, turn it the other way around, have it square on the footpath. So he had that sort of bit of rat cunning in him, because he loved all that sort of stuff. He was a prankster, but he was super intelligent and he was driven. So
was that from your North days together?
Yeah, we've been mates since we were 18.
Yeah,
So him, myself, and Horse, there's a bit cruel. We're all pretty good mates still, like really good mates.
Yeah,
you reckon he goes again?
Clarko?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, yeah. Yeah, he'll be coaching next year. 100%. Well, in my view, I haven't spoken to him about it, but he's got a lot more coaching than him. Yeah, he'll come back from a bit of a break and he'll be hungry. And then there'll be offers for him. Let's put it that way. He's a genius coach.
So there's no question about that. I'll just from afar again, but when you in a system for so long, history says it's really hard to repeat, only because when you're starting off, you're just so mad keen to prove.
Yeah,
he doesn't have to prove anything now, so that's a different dynamic.
But he will if he goes to another club,
right?
Because if at Hawthorn, I can sort of get what you were saying, but if he goes to I'm not even going to say the club because I don't want to be putting any. I hate the who's under the pressure index in the Herald Sun or the papers that they put in. Which coach is under the most pressure? Let's let him coach.
Well, Simon Goodwin was this time last year.
Yeah, Goody was, and he's won a flag, you know. Yeah. And after what happened with Teague, I hated the way that was all done and whatever. But now I think you put him in a program where a new club comes to him next year and says, you're our man, you know, for whatever reason it is, they might have had a poor season, and he likes their list, I think it would be fantastic at a new club.
Yeah, no doubt. Tell some of your other clients that you've had along the journey about that the starting points that we don't did here, like Buddy.
Well, Bud wasn't originally with us. I went across to Perth.
You hoodwinked everyone there when everyone thought he was going to GWS.
Yeah, we'll get back to that in a sec. The GWS. No, but when he was a kid, I said to Chris, and he never came on those long trips with me. I said, come on, we're going to Perth. He goes, why have I got to come to Perth? I said, mate, this kid's seriously good. Anyway, I set up the meeting to go to Buddy's house. All good. I get in there. His old man's standing behind the chair all the whole meeting.
Largest man.
Big man. Lance, ripping bloke.
Yeah.
He's standing behind the chair. Ursula, the mum, sitting on the chair. Me and Chris are sitting on the couch. And Buddy's sitting on a beanbag. But Buddy hasn't... We're doing a presentation about why we'd be a good management group for him or whatever. And I'm looking at Buddy. He hasn't taken his eyes off the TV. He hasn't listened to one word we've said. Anyway, Chris said afterwards, we're walking back to the hire car, and he said, reckon that went well. I said, do you reckon? He was watching telly, mate. Sure enough, he signed with some bloke in Perth, and then who was tied up with Ricky Nixon, and then then Chicken was looking after him here, and then they had a blue, I heard that he was changing management, so jumped on him.
What year was he football wise when you took him over?
It was about 2000 and When did they win the flag? 2006.
Yeah.
So he'd been in the system a couple of years. But I'd met him, I'd seen him 100 times because he'd always be him and Louis and Ruffy, three musketeers. Everything they did was together. So whenever Louis had come in, Buddy and Ruffy had probably come into our office. So I knew them as well as I knew some of the other players. So I was hoping that we'd get a chance to sign the big fella up, and we did. And I was rapt when we signed him. Geez, that was an exciting trip. I actually wasn't even... Because he was just about to explode. You could see it. That was the year that he kicked that six in the final against Adelaide, and then seven or whatever he kicked, and then the next year he kicked 100. I drove out to Box Hill thinking we were just presenting to him again. Did the big presentation. He's not there. Bud's not there. I'm doing it to his mum and dad, and they said, "Yeah, well, we really liked you the first time. Is that the contract?" So wasn't that presumptuous? So I just dropped it around Friday. I said, "Bullshit, I'll be back in an hour." Straight back to the office, got the contract, back out the Box Hill. Said, "Here it is." And then I think it was a couple of days later that the contract was ready for me to pick up. Again, Bud wasn't there.
Yeah.
Still hadn't seen him. And then I rang him, didn't answer, messaged him, didn't answer. And on the Monday, I reckon, he'd been signed with us for 4 days. I said, "You know, I am managing you now, mate." "Oh, sorry, mate, I've been busy." That's how it sort of started with him. But he's a good man.
How'd you manage to convince the whole world, the whole of Australia, that he was going to GWS and not was...
I didn't have to convince anyone. Everyone just assumed it. Yeah, they in their own mind assumed it. Hawthorn were definitely cooking up a deal with the Giants to get something in return. Because the Hawks had tabled an offer, which he was never going to accept, because he didn't want it. He wanted to live in Sydney. And they said, "We'll give you a time date." I think the time frame was, I can't remember, this is open for you to accept until July 30th or something, you know, something like that. They gave us a date. And when we didn't do that, the offer from the Hawks was off the table. So they just assumed then, and we'd met with the Giants a number of times, but they'd given us one offer. One offer, whatever it was. And I hadn't even gone back to him and said, "No, he's not going to do this, he wants this or that." So that in itself, I would have thought, unless they thought I was the dopiest manager going around, I wasn't going to try and get more than their initial offer. They didn't smell a rat at all. And we'd already had... what we thought was going to be the deal with the Swans, which ended up getting locked in during the trade period. But yeah, we had the numbers agreed, but we just had to work out how they're going to do it. And then 9 years, as he said to me, "So I got you that $10 million, bud." And he said, "Awesome." I said, "Well, it's a few years, a bit longish contract." He said, "How long's longish?" And I said, "9 years." He said, "Fuck me. What? 9 years? How old am I going to be?" Anyway, he's coming up to his ninth year this year. So.
Isn't that crazy? Because when it happened, everyone was like, "That's a really long contract."
Yeah.
In one respect, it's like, fuck, at least you've got a job for 9 years.
Yeah.
In another respect, it's like, how old are you going to be? What's your body going to be like? You know, all those kind of things. But nine years has come around.
Sam, it's been a credit to him that he's turned himself into such a pro that he'll probably play another year. Mm. I think it's an absolute credit to him. It really is. I mean, he was...
Hang on, you think he'll extend beyond...
Yeah, actually, I do. Yeah. Yeah, I reckon he'll get through this season, provided he gets no injuries.
Yeah.
The change in him since he's got married and had kids and that, it's unbelievable. He's such a pro. He loves the club, and the club love him.
Yeah.
So, and he's still putting bums on seats.
Hmm. Well, this is the thing, when you look at his stats at Hawthorn versus at Sydney, they're quite similar, but people seem to remember Buddy as a Hawthorn player, but he's done a lot for Sydney.
Yeah, it's because of the flags, I think. He's got a couple of flags at Hawthorn, but he's going to end up playing more years at... It's about even at the moment.
Probably got two Hall of Fame careers, one at Hawthorn and one at Sydney.
Well, you would think he's going to be a legend of both clubs. Which is fantastic. The Hawthorn fans loved him, and they were dirty when he left, and you know, it did cause some issues, but yeah, it was his lifestyle change. And you know why? He wanted to get up to Sydney. He's just in as his wife now. I mean, he wanted to get up there with her. He wanted to get out of Melbourne. He really did. Nothing to do with Hawthorn. He just wanted to get out of Melbourne. So
how was the blowback from? Did you get you two get much blowback from the AFL and footy world when you chose Sydney?
Oh, shit, yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah. Now, the AFL, they made us jump through all sorts of hoops. Like, firstly, they banned Sydney from trading for 2 years.
What was that over? I still don't understand
it. No one can understand it.
Right? Oh, no one can.
They just had the shits.
Yeah.
So
they wanted him to go GFs to grow the market and stuff like that. Yeah,
that's what they wanted. Like, it was extraordinary the way they behaved. They made every board member, it didn't matter where they were in the world, sign a letter to say that over the next 9 years you cannot alter this contract. Had to be signed off.
Right.
We got interviewed by the investigation team. This is no shit. It was unbelievable. Like I rolled in and basically the deal was done with myself, you know, and Dean Moore, the footy manager, but Andrew Ireland, really, is Andrew yep. and I. And then there was only a few people that knew the deal. Anyway, which I laugh, well, I laugh when I think about it now. But we get investigated, and I mean, there are others across it. So I've got my time to go in. Buddy's got his time to go in and get investigated. Absolutely nothing to be investigated about. He's a free agent. Although I hadn't matched the offer. Yeah. I mean, there was no money under the table. It was just in the contract.
What were they trying to get you with?
I don't know. I still don't know. So I go into a meeting with the investigation team, and Kinnear Beetson's just come out before me. I said, that would have been quick. Kinnear didn't really have anything to do with the trade. They said, yeah, we pretty much worked that out. And I said, all right, well, this is how it went down. Yeah. This is what happened. This is what was said. This is what's in the contract. And that's the end of the deal.
Yep.
And so, of course, it was cleared. But Mike Fitzpatrick rang up Richard Collison, gave him a huge spray. And then I think Gil McLachlan might have given Andrew Wilde a huge spray. Because it was just, they think that they were, and then they took Kohler off them. They took the living away from home allowance, which, they should get it back. I mean, it's nuts, Sydney. Both Giants and Sydney, they should get that Kohler back. But, you know, the cost of living up there is out of control.
So the counterpoint to cost of living being out of control is that if you buy into that Sydney property market, you've done exceptionally well, though.
Yeah, if you can afford to buy into it. You've got to still pay rent if you can't.
As a player, you should be able to, shouldn't you?
Well, it depends. Yeah. I've got guys up there that they're struggling. They've got kids in that have struggled to stay there because, you know, the cutbacks with the salaries for coaches.
Yeah.
And it's like, I've got four kids or three kids or whatever. So that's sort of how it goes. But yeah, I thought it was extraordinary the way they behaved. Like the way the AFL treated Sydney. Like they'd done something right and did anything wrong.
And it just shows you about experts in quotation marks, and they're all part of our society. You've done the AFL the best favour of all time.
Oh,
like, what Buddy's done for Sydney?
For Sydney, yeah. It's not the Giants, I get that.
Yeah.
And it's not the club they wanted him to go to, but they're forging their own path. I mean,
but no matter what Buddy would have done at the GWS, he's been better for the game than what he did at
Sydney. 100%. The game's grown. No matter what he did. Yeah, massively in Sydney because of Buddy. Mm. Yeah, he puts more people through the gate than any player. If you ask Richard Collis and Andrew Ireland and that, they think more than even Plugger did.
Wow.
Which is back then.
Wow.
This is a lot.
So, what 9 years for Buddy? What was the best he did for you?
Ham sandwich.
I think your last deal was a good one.
Yeah, no, I didn't really come out of contract at the end there. Like, I was always.
Yeah.
Always.
Good injury clause in his last one.
Yeah.
Bloody oath we did. He nearly stuffed it up. I wanted to play all these local games. I said, listen here, don't be. You can't be playing those
but
games.
But now he's giving back to the community on a regular basis.
He is. That's good to see.
5 years, 5 years out, and it felt like it too, my first couple of games. But
Well, Swanee was a slow build. Buddy was Buddy was. And Gary even. They took him a little while.
A bit faster than me, though.
Oh, yeah, but no, I mean a slow build as in your contracts.
Oh, yeah.
Because it took a little while to be able to establish yourself, and then you become, when you're at your super best.
I was lucky to get one
earlier. Early days it was a struggle. But it wasn't a struggle for Gary and for Buddy and that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, everyone's different. There are players that mature at the right time.
Tell us more about the junior journey.
Oh, he's been a brilliant client to manage.
And of course, you knew him as a kid, right?
dad and son.
Yeah.
Oh, no, and like, say, and clients and like Buddy, and I'm guessing Buddy and Gaz are the two best players you've had?
Yeah.
Fuck off.
I can see it as well.
Listen, I'm honest enough to know they're probably just a smidgen better than me, yeah. Well,
when they were both kicking around at their top, Gary and Buddy, I'd speak to Buddy and say, Gary's that far above everyone else in this game, it's a joke. And then I'd speak to Gary, and Gary would say, Buddy's unbelievable. There's no better player than him.
Yeah.
So they had a mutual respect for each other. Oh, like Swanee and Pendles, and yeah, we've had some great players over the years. Jeez.
Which one who's the best that you've seen that you've had? Can you Buddy or Gary?
Oh, I'm not splitting them two.
Okay. Tell us more about Gaz, the personality, because from an outsider, he just looks like the most humble guy who just goes humble about his footy and that's it.
Yeah, he's actually a beautiful person. That's what he is. Like, he's a great person. He's interesting, Gaz, because he's very laid back, but he's also very competitive.
Yep.
Like, you have a game of, if you're playing a game of cards, you know, he's not leaving until he wins.
Yeah.
He's that guy. If you're doing something that's quite competitive, he wants to beat everybody.
Yeah.
But in a general sense, he's a very generous guy too. So, no, he's been a very good client. He reads every contract. If I put a contract in front of Swanee and said, mate, this is your sports bet deal, he'll just go, yep, no worries, that's it. Gaz will look at every word. So, which is good to be diligent. It is.
Yes.
You know. That's why I pay a manager.
Correct.
To be diligent.
What about when he went into the bloody jungle? I said to Swanee, we've got 5,000 forms here to fill out. I said, come in, we'll try and knock them all over in the afternoon. And so they've got it's a Q&A. Like, you know, it's for his personality profile. They're trying to work out what sort of character they're getting. You know, favourite movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you reckon? I said, what movies do you like? I don't know. You just fill it in. I said, what about your favourite song? I don't know. Can't you just... That's what I'm paying you for, mate.
Yeah.
I said, mate, you're not paying me to do your personality profile. That was an experience in itself. And taking over his Twitter feed for the time he was in. I handballed that one on Swanee.
Yeah, oh, I'd imagine. Yeah.
Would you say Dane's been your most entertaining client?
Yeah, clearly.
Most diverse.
Clearly. He has been easy. I'll be honest. Like I said earlier, I mean, nothing's too much hard work for him. If he'll say, if you can't do something, he'll say no. And he will never drag you along. So, no, he's been fun. We laugh about Swanee all the time. So, right, where'd you see Swanee today pitch? He was going here and he was going to his tattoo shop. His tattoos are another story. That might be for another day. But when he got his first arm sleeve, I saw it in the paper. I hadn't seen you. He'd been overseas. He got back from overseas. He had all these tats. And back then, they weren't all that trendy.
Yeah.
So I rang his old man and said, what's going on with Dane? And he's gone, oh, don't even start. He goes, I'm not, you know, his mother is never going to bring it up to him.
Yeah.
Have they ever brought up your tattoos to you?
No, they just ignore them. They ignore the tattoos. They said, no, nothing on the face
and
head.
Nothing on the neck.
Yeah, neck up. No.
What'd your mum say if you did neck up?
Be shot.
That was his first, before I entered tattoos.
Yeah.
And now you get an earn out of them.
You do, yeah. Well, COVID fucking put a stop to that for a while, but we're back up and going, which is good. Yeah.
What about was Swanee and I were talking about his post career, and I said, gee, I don't know about getting into another pub, mate. He goes, mate, I've got a great portfolio. I said, what's that? He goes, well, we had the sports bet deal.
Yeah.
I love a punt. All good. That works. He said, I've got a bar.
Yeah.
I love a bar.
Yeah,
I'm
the drink.
Got a tattoo place. So I've got a very diverse portfolio.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm about. Yeah. I just like to invest in things I like. And like drinking, tattoos, and like to bet.
And like to bet, there you go. So he's actually got things covered that he actually wants to be involved in, which is a smart way to earn a living.
All right, let's finish off with the Gazza Senior story.
Oh, which one? I can't say too many.
You can tell David Campisi one. That's always my favourite.
Oh, the Campisi one. That's probably my favourite, yeah. So we're... 1994, Australian Wallabies were sponsored by Ford. Geelong's major sponsor. So we had a function where the Wallabies were going to come down, have dinner with us that night. We had a guest speaker. So we had a normal training session. So they wanted to film a bit of a kick and a catch at the start with the players and then for the dinner afterwards and all that sort of stuff. So we get in there and we're all getting strapped for a normal training session and Gaz Senior's laying on a massage table in front of him. Two blokes working his big quads over, his big thighs over and hammies. Anyway, he's got his head in the hole and in walks David Campisi, who at the stage was the best rugby player in the world.
Yeah.
And so massive even down.
Oh, he was huge. We all knew who he was. He sauntered into our place, chest out, like the bigger than Ben-Hur. We're sitting up going, Campisi, it's Campisi. You know, we're sitting up on the benches getting our ankle strapped. Other blokes are walking around, they're all looking at him. He goes over to our trainer, Noel, and he says, and I said, what's he doing? And he's gone, he's over there. Right, I go over and he's looking for Gary Senior. This will be interesting. Anyway, so Gaz has got his head in the hole and Campo doesn't acknowledge any of us. Doesn't say, g'day, boys. No, walks straight past, chest out, taps Gary on the shoulder. Gaz looks up from his massage. He goes, mate, I'm just having a massage. I'll get you for that autograph when I finish. Head back down in the hole. Well, Campo sort of slunk out about 4'8". 4'8". True story. And we're in hysterics once he leaves the room. What? Who is he? What? He had no idea who he was. And, of course, what led the news that night in the sport? Gary throwing the ball at Campo, handballing it back.
New besties.
But there are 100 Gary Senior stories. He was a freak show of a footballer. No, God, he was good.
We had a good view of him out in the ground.
Oh, yeah.
What was your best see out in the ground, your best moment that you saw?
Jeez, I saw him do so many unbelievable things.
Your best you've seen?
Yeah, he's right up there. Yeah, yeah. I think he, he's the best player I've seen, yeah.
And
I know I say that when Junior's in the room. There's not much between the two of them. But
I know Gary's an avid listener of this podcast.
I'll guarantee you Gary will never hear this podcast. That's one thing I can guarantee. He won't be listening. But Gary Senior is a freak show, like as in a footballer.
Yeah.
So good. He was so powerful, so quick, and just so talented.
Yeah.
Skillful, geez. And he was brutal. Mate, he was brutal. Swanee, I'm telling you, he ran through more blokes than any player I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He finished so many careers with what you could get away with in.
Yeah, we didn't kill Dipper.
he put him in hospital.
So that was before you were there. So, and I'm not being a smartass, you know that. But you played in three losing grand finals. But I remember.
I played in two.
Two, was it? Yeah. 94, 95.
Well, two is AFL senior losing grand finals. Right. But also two night grand finals.
Yep.
And one VFL grand final. So I was a five-time loser at AFL level.
But I remember bumping into you with, I was with Flemmo at the Geelong Port grand final afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
And it was one of the great memories seeing you, Colby and Barry Stoneham just sitting back going, we're fucking finally won a premiership.
Finally.
The D's have done this year. What was that feeling like?
Oh, it was great. Anyway, the beauty of it was over so early.
Yeah.
Like, I was pretty relaxed about it. I mean, Billy put on the crocodile tears for cameras and all that bullshit. Come on, Bill. The cameras were on you. Ooh, they won by 130 points. He could have done that in the second quarter.
Just an eye, but Bill, how he managed to transfer at his best was such a good footballer.
He was a great player.
Perhaps that's been lost now that he's made a personality.
Has been lost, yeah.
He's turned into a full nuffy, hasn't he, as a supporter?
Oh, yeah. Well,
extraordinary.
Especially when Oscar was there, and Oscar's been let go. And he's pretty stiff to get let go too, I reckon, Oscar. He's a good player.
Yep.
Would have liked to see him get another opportunity. But Billy is a full-on nuff-nuff. He'll be running a bloody jumper next with 16 on the back.
It'll be a big one.
Bigger than the one he played in. But no, he was a very good player, Bill.
Yeah.
He was a shocking trainer. And his skin folds were just nuts.
You're allowed to do them now, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I did see that. Fair, not being able to give skin folds tests.
Go back to the catch with the premiership, though, what you were saying. About
that was great. Yeah. Like I wasn't going to go to that function. I wasn't going to go to the function at Crown that night because it's like, you know, we had our turn. We weren't good enough. But, we had a number of players playing in that. We had half a dozen Geelong players, I think, back playing, four or five of them at least. And a lot of my old mates were going, so I thought we all went along and had a great old night.
Yeah.
We had an area for all our guys and all the current players came out. It was bloody sensational. We went down the next day to the Cats, and we're in the rooms with a cup and bloody across the road with all the boys, Busey and all my mates, Mickey Mansfield and Bazza and all those blokes. So fantastic day or so for us, but obviously dragged on for the club because you'll get your full nuff on this Sunday, won't
Sunday,
you?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but the coterie function during the week. And what I've loved is how the current players have really embraced that.
Yeah.
Maybe the Neil Danaher era, if you like, the ones just before him,
and
all those boys have been really.
Because
to me, as a Nuffy supporter, I'm just saying these players don't have to embrace supporters, but they really have.
Yeah, it's good.
It's been fantastic.
No, I agree. And it's what's interesting from a Demas perspective is, like, their footy guys go back to, as in their ex players, go back to, I think Rod Grinter started it all.
Yep.
And Ball's a ripping bloke, and so all that crew from the late '80s. All the way to now are all fully on board. And I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, and I think they deserve to be jumping on board. And the players seem to have embraced them as well. So that's what a good club does.
No, 100%. Thanks for, what is it? Manager's manager?
Yeah.
Client.
Client. Thank you. I thought you'd go for a bigger name guest this week. I noticed you've been having a few more guests on.
Well, it's the off-season and Dane's about to go overseas.
Yeah.
On Tuesday, I better make sure we get whatever we need done from you before you go.
My person, actually, I'm in contact with your management firm. Pitch has been so.
You start to sound like Gary.
Yeah. The person I speak to more frequently has spoke to me. Yeah,
that's
What about we've had lunch on and off for about 20 odd years at the Jam Factory.
Yeah, I used to love those Jam.
Now our starting four was who?
Oh, gee, there was a lot,
mate. But over the journey, who's
Flemmo, you, me,
and Mark. Head of World Cricket now.
Oh, Joffa. Nice.
Our mate's now head of world
head of the
cricket.
ICC. He's
talking shit at the Jam Factory.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We had a lot of good guests coming in.
Yeah.
Dropping in and out.
Yeah.
Freaking bloody Lima was there at times.
Yeah. Not much of it would get to air. No.
Oh, there was a good crew.
Good crew.
Good crew that was in there.
Thanks for being part of it. Liam Pickering.
Thanks, mate. Go on your boys.
Friends.
Girls.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.